Our national motto is still "In God We Trust." Of course, you wouldn't know it from some of the pushback that we see in some of the courts. However, recently a federal court has ruled to keep our national motto "In God We Trust" on U.S. currency. We're going to discuss this issue and challenges to that motto with the senior counsel of First Liberty Institute. His name is Jeremy Dice. Jeremy, great to have you back on the program.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Sure. All right. This is Jerry Newcomb on Vocal Point. Okay, so here we go, Jeremy. Tell us about this recent challenge to our national motto.
Well, this comes up every couple of years where some secularists will get together and try to figure out a way that they could get rid of the national motto, which is "In God We Trust." This has been tried multiple times. In fact, it's been tried in almost every single federal circuit in the country. And unanimously, all the circuits have rejected any constitutional challenge to the national motto. And I think the reason for that is very simple. This is an innocuous motto that is a part of our history and our heritage, reflecting really who we are as a country and who we've always been. It was put on our dollar bills in the 1950s. It was on our coins in the 1860s. Mm-hmm. And it was so ingrained as to who we were as a country that even Francis Scott Key could say in 1812, in the Star Spangled Banner, "And this be our motto, in God is our trust." So it's part of who we are, and it's simply a way for us to unite around a saying in this country. It's our national motto.
Now, you said that even, you know, this challenge is happening in all these different circuit court of appeals. Does that include the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals? Because they are probably the most liberal, right? And they're often overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, or they have been historically.
Yeah, in fact, it does. And it's been upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States on top of all of that. So here was another chance, another try for some groups to sue. In fact, there's a long list of individuals that was sued here. It was the United States Congress. It was the U.S. Mint, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. And for good measure, they threw in there the United States of America, which I guess is all of us. And so the effort here underway in the Northern District of Ohio was an effort to try to remove "In God We Trust" from our currency. But I want you to think of how far-reaching this would be. If they had been successful, and they're appealing this already, so if they're successful at the Sixth Circuit there, if these groups are successful, we're going to have to scratch off "In God We Trust" from our pennies and quarters and dimes. We're going to have to cut around that phrase on all of our paper currency. In fact, if it's found unconstitutional, they're going to have to do some wall work inside of the United States Congress where it appears, and other federal buildings are going to have to be sandblasted to remove that phrase. You're going to have to remove the state motto of the state of Florida, which is also "In God We Trust," and so who knows how many state buildings and other places that appears. And you're also going to have to unsew it, remove it from the flag of the state of Georgia, and then you're going to have to begin to unpeel the national motto off of a lot of the police and sheriff cruisers that are around the country that have it stuck there. The point is this: most Americans have absolutely no problem with this phrase. It's been our national motto for hundreds, literally hundreds of years now.
Well, officially since 1956. But unofficially.
As Francis Scott Key said, "Hey, and this be our motto,
yeah.
God is our trust." So I guess if we sung the fourth verse of the national motto at the baseball games, we'd have to bleep that out too.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, it's also in the Florida flag.
That's right.
Yeah, and in the Florida flag, by the way, there's something also that's Christian. Don't tell the ACLU this, but the flag is based on the flag of the cross, rather, of St. Andrew, the brother of Peter. Peter was crucified on a cross that was like an X. And so that cross has made itself historically into the flag of Scotland. It's part of the Union Jack. The Union Jack is a combination of the St. George's cross and the cross of St. Andrew's. It's also in the Alabama flag, but it's a very, very interesting thing. But what is the motivation of these secularists?
Well, anytime religion pops its head up in public, they feel the need to knock it back down, or in this case, to whitewash over our longstanding history in acknowledging our dependence upon the divine. That's wrong. It's not who we are as a country, but it's been their motivation for several decades now to make sure that America forgets our history and our heritage so that in the future they would achieve some sort of secularist nirvana. That's not going to happen here. And thankfully, this court has understood that it's not a substantial burden on the free exercise of the atheistic religion to have to carry around a penny in their pocket that says, "In God we trust."
Now, there were some coins that have been made where they put it on the rim, and you can't even read it, you know, unless you look for it or something, or have a microscope or something. Have you ever seen that?
Well, look, if they want to put it on the rim, or if they want to put it right next to Lincoln's nose, or emblazoned
across
the head of...
It's not on pennies. Yeah, it's not on pennies. It's some of the other coinage. And then this is just recently. This is, I think, under the Obama administration, which doesn't surprise me.
I've looked at pennies here, I guess, today. But, you know, the point is this. Wherever the U.S. Mint wants to place it, wherever the Bureau of Engraving wants to put it on our coinage, is perfectly constitutional, and it's not something that's going to cause a constitutional crisis by any means at all. And every court has recognized that.
Hmm. Well, I mean, obviously it must take a lot of effort to file a lawsuit and then to, you know, have it go through different levels of the court system and so forth. So what's the driving force behind it? Who's funding this kind of thing?
Well, this one was brought by Michael Newdow, who is himself not an attorney, but has filed multiple pieces of litigation to try to invalidate various parts of our history and our heritage that rely upon religion. He was famous for filing a lawsuit against the Pledge of Allegiance because it said "under God" within it, and went all the way, I think, to the Supreme Court of the United States, and he lost. So, you know, it's good that he's got a losing track record on these things. I'm glad that First Liberty Institute, we were able to partner with the American Legion in a friend of the court brief to help this court understand why this national motto is of such great importance. And I think it because of that, because there were men and women as part of the American Legion who have fought and some have died to defend our national motto and what it represents behind it. I think that is persuasive to the court, and I hope it will be persuasive going forward in the future as well.
Hmm. All right, when you mentioned the thing about, you know, they would have to do some sandblasting, let's say, of some of the buildings in D.C., you know, what's interesting about that is most of those were actually made in the 1930s as part of the public works system. I mean, there's at least three Bible verses. I've counted them myself in the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah,
three Bible verses.
This goes to prove, again, that our forebears had no problem with acknowledging God in public, and neither should we. Look, if you really want to be boiling down into history, we know Ben Franklin is not to have been the most religious individual in our founding fathers' decades there, but even one of his militias had as their insignia on their flag, "In God We Trust." And so this is a long-standing tradition in our country, dating back to before we were even a republic.
Hmm. So when Francis Scott Key wrote that fourth stanza to what became the national anthem, that was already a motto in circulation. He was just, you know, reiterating the idea.
Yeah, you know, I asked a historian friend of mine about that. Why would Francis Scott Key write that in the Baltimore Harbor there? Why would he do that at that time of our country? And his answer was pretty simple. He just said, look, because that's what people believed. Yeah. It was so pervasive in our country at our founding that we would acknowledge our reliance upon a higher authority than the state, that it was simple for Francis Scott Key to write in the fourth verse, "And this be our motto, in God is our trust." We as a country need not be embarrassed about that, nor do we need to think that it is somehow unconstitutional when the very men and women who fought and died to protect that Constitution and many of the men who drafted it were willing and wanting to acknowledge their reliance upon the divine. That's perfectly fine, and it's never going to run against the law.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, since you mentioned Francis Scott Key, that the history of that is incredible. Here it was, as you said, during the context of the War of 1812, August 24th, 1814. Most people don't realize this. So as the war dragged on, August 24th, the British forces attacked our national capital, and they burned down the White House on August 24th. They also burned down the U.S. Capitol. Then a month later, September 13th, the night of September 13th, they were all set to bombard and destroy Fort McHenry so that it could go on to get Baltimore, the the more plush prize between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. At the time, Baltimore was much greater. And so Francis Scott Key had to witness this overnight bombardment the night of September 13th through the morning of September 14th. So when he woke up and then he saw, oh, you know, praise the Lord. He probably didn't even wake up. He probably stayed up all night because that bombardment happened through the night. The bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. I mean, it's such an incredible story. But that fourth verse doesn't just mention in God is our trust. He talks about praise the power, capital P. He's talking about God. Praise the power that hath, you know, preserved us a nation or made us a nation or preserved us as a nation. It's really very God-honoring, the whole thing.
Yeah, and further proof that our founding fathers were not embarrassed to acknowledge religion in public, and they certainly didn't find it to be in conflict with the Constitution. And so I think it's instructive for us today, some 200 years removed from that founding, to be reminded that it's okay to talk about God in public, and it's not only okay for you and I as private citizens to do so and to carry those bills in our pockets, in our quarters, in our front pockets, but it's okay for even our elected leaders to talk about that without fearing punishment by the government that they run. It's perfectly permissible for a senator or a congressman to acknowledge the national motto without fearing that they are violating the Constitution. This is something that I'm afraid our friends in the secularist world just simply refuse to accept.
Well, you know, about 5, 6, 7 years ago, under Harry Reid's leadership and so forth, they made this big building in D.C., entreeway, if you will, to the Capitol. The way to go to the Capitol from, you know, if you're just a visitor, is through now the Capitol Visitor Center. Before they even opened it up, they allowed some of the lawmakers to go through it. And as they did, some of the more alert ones, the ones on our side, saw that it actually had E Pluribus Unum, our national motto. They actually had that, you know, in the original Capitol Visitor Center, and some of these congressmen said, we will withhold the funding until you correct that mistake. Now, they couldn't, you know, spend all the money to do everything. So what they did was they removed the phrase, our national motto. So you can still see that E Pluribus Unum is just not our national motto. But these people who made this, designed this thing, were so ignorant they didn't know our national motto is, and has been since 1956, in God we trust.
Well, that's why I'm so grateful for programs like this that remind people of our rich heritage and history in acknowledging a religion in public. It's also why we started up a podcast at First Liberty Institute called The First Liberty Briefing that is just telling the story of religious liberty every Monday, Wednesday, Friday in about 2 minutes of time. It's a good way for us to be reminded about what religious liberty does for this country, where it's come from, and what the threats are to it right now.
And what would you say to those who say, okay, look, this is just a battle over symbols. Who cares? What really counts is, you know, what goes on in the hearts and minds of people.
Well, hearts and minds of people are changed by little things. And sometimes little symbols make a big impact upon the hearts and minds of individuals. I'm reminded of William Wilberforce, who one of the ways that he was able to end the slave trade in the United Kingdom was a symbol of men and women in slavery, and they passed it out as little buttons, and that symbol became a rallying cry for a way to be able to undo that great evil of slavery in the United Kingdom. Little symbols like this, called our national motto, or the size of a quarter or a dime or wherever they appear right now, those little symbols have a big impact upon who we are as a country. And we ought to be reminded that there is something greater than ourselves, we the people, and there is something greater than those that we send to Washington, D.C. or our state capitals to do our legislative and governmental work. That there is something above even government, and that's good for us to be reminded, and it's especially important for our lawmakers to be reminded that there is something greater than themselves when they're governing.
It's almost as if the other side thinks that by acknowledging God, you're establishing religion. By the way, that's something Roy Moore has often said, you know, over and over and over. And the founders wouldn't agree with that, would they? That, in other words, you're by acknowledging the Almighty, you are not establishing a religion, per se.
No, not at all. That's contrary even to the case law that we have on the topic of the Establishment Clause. In fact, that's exactly why this court kicked this case out of their own court. that it was perfectly permissible and in line with the Constitution to have the national motto repeat the phrase, "In God We Trust." There's no problem with that.
Yep. Well, there it is. Jeremy Dice, thanks so much for being with us, and congratulations on this victory. FirstLiberty.org for more information. Always a pleasure, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.